Faith Fellowship Church, we're glad to be back in our sanctuary this morning, and we appreciate everybody that's here and those watching by Facebook. This morning, we're going to talk about who. That's kind of an odd question, isn't it, who? And our text is going to be from the book of Romans, but the first verse I want to look at this morning is from Genesis 42:36. Before we read that, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what the Holy Spirit has for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage in Genesis 42:36 is when Jacob, also known as Israel, gets word. And if you remember the story, Joseph is in Egypt, and Joseph is playing a little head game and has kept his son there. I forgot the Simeon, excuse me. Kept Simeon there, and now they're wanting to take Benjamin there. And he says to his sons, "Me have you bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." Wow. Now, this is interesting because what he does not know, obviously, is that Joseph is not. Joseph is alive, that Simeon is being cared for by Joseph, and that this is all part of God's plan. But when you don't know it's part of God's plan, you might say, along with Jacob, all these things are against me, right? It looks like life is against me. What in the world is going on in my life? So we're going to now look in Romans chapter 8. And Paul, of course, is writing to the Romans by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now look at that transition. All things are against me. If God is for us, who can be against us? And so if God is truly for me and you, and we know He is, then the reality is there cannot ever be anything against us because God is for us. Aren't you glad God is for us? God is for us. God is for us. God is for me and God is for you. God wants everything that you want that is within His will. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have joy. And circumstances come and circumstances cause us to feel like all things are against us. But God says that they're not. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, in verse 26, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we don't know how we should pray as we ought to, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so not only is God for us, it says the Spirit prays for us, the Holy Spirit is for us. So God is for us, the Holy Spirit is for us, He's interceding for us and praying for us. And then in verse 34, it says, "Who is he that condemns? It's Jesus Christ that died for us, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us." So Christ is also praying for us. So God is for us, the Holy Spirit's for us, and Jesus is for us. Wow! We've got the whole Trinity that's for us. So can anything be against us? If the whole Trinity of God is for me, then wow, what is wrong with me thinking like Jacob was thinking? Amen? And so we see verse 26, verse 31, 34, "God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit," say it with me, "are for us." Amen. That's right. They're for us. So praise God. Now, that verse again, verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And so they're not only for us, they, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the God the Father and Jesus, but it says because of what Jesus did, because of what Jesus did on the cross, God didn't deliver him, he didn't spare him, he put all of that stuff on Jesus so that he can with and freely through Jesus impart to you and me all these blessings. The storehouse of the blessings of God can be bestowed upon us. So why am I going through what I'm going through? Why are you going through? Are you? And of course we got an owl here on the projector screen because that's what owls say. Who, anybody see that little funny cartoon I posted? The back massage of the owl, and the owl who can turn his head all the way around, and he's like, "You're creeping me out when you do that." So, but that's what owls say. Who, right? And so that's what the scripture says. We're going to look at this. So we're going to look at the who's. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? A charge against you. Well, you're this or that, or you did this. You know, that's what the devil does, right? But he doesn't do it directly. He does it through people, right? This doesn't say what. It says who. Now, if I was writing that, I would have said what, you know? I would have said the devil. But just as God uses people, the devil uses people. So the Holy Spirit didn't say what, he said who. Who shall lay anything to God's elect? So you may have someone come to you, or the devil may speak to you through someone or through circumstances and say, you know, you're this or you're that, or you blew it, or you didn't make the right decisions. And so the question is, who shall lay anything to God's elect? Well, you know what? It's God that justifies me, not man. Amen? And I may have people come to me and say, Roger Jones, you did this or that, but I am not justified by what they say. I'm justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And even if we blow it and we ask God to forgive us, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are justified not by our works, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It is God that justifies us. Amen. So the second question, verse 34, who is he that condemns? Who is he that condemns? Years ago, I had a brother that came to Faith Fellowship, dear brother, and he had gotten cancer. He had smoked for years, just a chain smoker, one right after the other, and he had went to a dentist and had some work done. And you know, sometimes when that air hits that blood, if there's cancer, then it just kind of explodes, and it began to grow in his jaw, and they had to give him morphine because it got in his brain before he died. It was a horrible death. And before he got that bad, the devil began to bring all this condemnation on him, that this was all his fault. He should have quit smoking. He knows better. And I mean, the devil had him so convinced that he was so bad. And when I finally realized it, this was my text. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died and rose again, and that's the right hand of God, and he's praying for me and you. You know, doesn't matter what is done or who said what, Jesus loves us just as we are. And so who is he that's going to condemn? Nobody condemn us. Nobody can condemn us because of Jesus and what he did when he died on that cross. It's all finished. It was finished 2,000 years ago, and it's finished today. Jesus Christ is praying for me and you. He is at the right hand of God the Father, and he is making intercession for us. And he's not condemning us. He's not shaming us. He's not ridiculing us. He loves us with an everlasting love. Amen? Praise God. And the third who, he asks, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Well, you don't know what I did, Brother Roger. Who can? Can you separate me from the love of Christ? Can that guy over there, can her over there, can anyone truly separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation do it? Can distress, can persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, can those separate us from the love of Christ? So here they are, tribulation, distress, which we would probably call stress, right? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Now, I mean, obviously we're going to have tribulation. Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation. And that can come in a thousand different things. But for most of us, we're probably not going to really have the persecution like the early church had. Maybe later, but not right now. And thank God we haven't had famine, nakedness, or a sword. But really, if you want to focus on two of the most common ones, it would probably be stress and peril. Stress defines as extreme anxiety sorrow or pain. Now, be honest, how many of you guys have felt anxiety in the last month? All of us probably, right? And then the peril represents danger, risk, insecurity, uncertainty, exposure to danger. And I don't know if we've been exposed to danger, but certainly we felt insecurity, uncertainty. And everybody that's lived through COVID last year have felt a certain degree of insecurity or uncertainty. And so we are living in a world where we experience stress and peril, if nothing else. Now, of course, in this next verse, it says, and I said this already, if I was writing verse 35, I'd say, what shall separate us? But who are the people that Satan uses? But then in the next verse, 36, it is written, for your sake, that we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep to the slaughter. And so this is really addressing the sword thing, because James was killed with a sword, and you or I could be, but the likelihood, hopefully, that would happen to us is slim. It's really more those two that we talked about. So the answer to the who, he says no, nay, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who kind of liked us. No. Who loved us. The answer is no. No. Through him. Through Jesus. No. The answer is no. Listen, devil. No. The answer is no. Who can do this to me? No. Nobody can. Because I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved us. So the answer to the who is the him. It's always Jesus, isn't it? Jesus in the morning, Jesus at the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down, Jesus when I'm hungry, Jesus when I'm thirsty, Jesus 24 hours a day. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all of life's questions. When he died on the cross and said it's finished, it was finished, brother, it was finished, and everything I need is bought and paid for at the cross of Christ. The answer to my who is the him. Jesus is the answer. No, devil, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. And because of that, I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. A conqueror means someone who overcomes and takes control of a place or a people. Successfully overcoming a problem or a weakness. It's likened to climbing a mountain. He was the second American to conquer Everest, right? And we certainly have mountains in our life. We have figurative mountains. And I want to have the reputation. I looked up, tried to find out, because this was in the definition, the second American. And of course, everything I looked at, they weren't Americans. It was this guy that climbed Everest. So I don't know who the second American who climbed Everest was. I don't know. But you can Google them, and you can probably find names of all the people that conquered Everest, that conquered the mountain, right? And you and I, God wants us to conquer the mountain. And so I want a reputation like these guys have a reputation. Somebody's name will answer a Google hit when you ask who climbed Everest. And I want a reputation in heaven. I want a reputation in hell. I want hell to say, you know, we threw everything at that guy and he conquered it through Jesus Christ. We threw every thought and every condemnation and every dart that we could throw at him, and he conquered it. Don't you want to have that same kind of reputation? That hell says, we threw everything at him, and he conquered it through Jesus Christ. And how did he do it? Because we are more than conquerors through Jesus, through him. The answer to the who is the him. And in Christ, in Jesus Christ, the answer is no to the condemnation and yes to the victory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. Take that, devil. Take that. Amen. Glory to God. Now, what does it mean to be defeated, to beat, to vanquish, to overcome, to overpower, to overthrow, to subdue? We're still talking about conquering. To lick, right? He licked it, by golly. That sounds like an Oklahoma term, right? Clobbered it, pulverized it, demolished it, destroyed it, wiped the floor with them, walked all over them. That's what being more than a conqueror is. Wow. Wow. That's the testimony I want to hear the devil telling the demons in heaven. He defeated, he beat, he vanquished, he overcome, he overpowered, he overthrew, he subdued, he licked it, he clobbered, he pulverized. Everything we threw at him, he got the victory through Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors, church. I said we're more than conquerors in him. Glory to God. walked all over that devil. Praise the Lord. And when you talk about this, I always have to go back to the Roper Dope, Muhammad Ali, right? Remember this? It was called the Rumble in the Jungle, the fight between him and heavyweight champion George Foreman. Foreman was expected to win, and Ali coined, you know, the coin phrase, the rope a dope, just got in there and leaned against that rope and let the devil just, I'm saying the devil, let George Foreman just punch him and punch him and punch him and punch him and punch him. And you say, how much can one man take? And hell's probably saying that about you and about me and about all of us. How can these people keep taking this kind of blow? And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we come out of that corner swinging because we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. In Him we win. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And so Paul says, so let me tell you guys, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. I think he pretty much covered it all. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The love of God. The love of God. God loves me and you. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love never fails. Where there's tongues, they'll cease. Where there's other gifts, they'll fail. But in the end remains faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. And God is love. And God loves us. And in Him we win. Praise God. And so, when Jacob said, all things are against me, we answer the who with nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I can take it to the bank. Nothing. Let's pray. Father, today we are so thankful for your word, first of all, that reminds us these glorious truths in a world gone mad, in a world where there's so much pain and hurt and anger and violence and tribulation and peril, that we are loved by God through Jesus Christ, and that nothing can separate us from that love. And so as we go our separate ways today, as we face those mountains, those Everests in our life, let us be reminded of this glorious, glorious truth. Let us be reminded that the answer to the whose is the Him. It's still Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is our victory. The victory that was won 2,000 years ago is our victory today. And that nothing can separate us from your love. So as we face our Everest this week, we will face them with a fresh perspective called the love of God in Christ. And as we meditate on that glorious, glorious love, as we meditate on that glorious, glorious victory, then the mountains won't seem as high, and the terrain won't seem as rough, and we will rest in the knowledge that if God is for us, who can be against us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm glad I came to church.